the case with this example, but if there are four that you know of,
yes,
it begs the question,
how many do we not know of?
How many do we not know of? And
the community went through a similar thing with HIV education in the, I mean, I keep going back to the 90s, but the 90s was a hotbed of political activity for the queer community. But, you know, emphasizing, you know, safer sex and watching who you have sex with and being responsible and making clear decisions. Talking to the community about that could be perceived from the outside as basically like gay men telling each other to stop being so loose, to be polite about it. And this idea of, well, you can't promote safe sex because it implies that gay men are all sexually super promiscuous. Well, but
the allegation is the idea that gay men are inherently deviant.
Yes.
Which is absolutely not true.
But then the issue is, okay, so you don't want that negative association, so you're just going to silence the discussion and let HIV run rampant? And it was in the late 90s when the community was just like, you know, screw the reputation. We've got to save lives here.
Yeah,
so they just turned around and they're like, yeah, no, we're just going to go full bore on the message of take responsibility for your health, you know, make good decisions, have safer sex, be selective with your sexual partners. Not even an issue of like being clean or dirty, but just like, you know, the fewer you have, the less often you're rolling the dice. And there's nothing wrong with having a meaningful relationship with someone. There was a huge push for like, friends with benefits over having a different partner every day of the week in the late 90s as a way of sort of accounting for that.
It's risk management.
It is risk management. Yeah, yeah. There's this thing of like, how do you promote one thing without villainizing its opposite? And I think this is something that people are way too conscientious about sometimes, because it's like you are basically saying we are accepting harm to the community over reputation.
Yeah.
And
that's partly why I wanted to discuss this. I think the allegations against Chandler, unproven, really sparks this conversation about overall safety again.
Yeah.
Because one comment in this article jumped out at me, and it was somebody who, one of the accusers, recalled seeing a 20-year-old guy there who looked terrified in the space.
Oh.
And it reminded me immediately of some of the cases we heard around Kevin Spacey as well.
Yes.
Where this idea of the, you know, individuals holding the room, holding the attention of the room, demanding the attention of the room. And then it becomes a difficult space to challenge that, a difficult space to be safe in, you know, and you know, even one of the accusers said, look, if they'd have asked nicely, everything would have been consensual.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, you know, but the way it rolled out, it wasn't, allegedly.
Yeah.
Now, I think the reason why I wanted to bring this up, because I've been to house parties.
Yes.
I've been to a house party in Toronto.
Yes.
Where a RuPaul's Drag Race Canada drag queen, you know, rolled through and everyone's like, oh my God, it's you know, it's this lady. But that's the one time I didn't do. But that's, you know, it reminds me of, like, these things happen.
Yes.
People come in and they take up the space.
Yes.
And it is so vital for us to be safer as a community and have these conversations.
It's also important for people in the media to be careful. Not only just for things like Kevin Spacey and this. Like, it's not just about the queer community, but being the nature of this show. I think we're going to emphasize that. When you do report on this kind of thing, make very clear that this is not about gay men. This is about power, and this is about celebrity. This is about people abusing their position. The fact that it may happen more often in certain spaces than others, Hollywood being a famous example, there is a famous not nice man who abused his power and celebrity for...
There was more than one.
a couple dozen of them, yes. And it really does come down to people who just, they fall into a position of power and authority, and they take advantage of that. And it's not about, I don't even necessarily think it's about maleness, because there are stories of women who have exploited their position. It's just that through a trick of history, there's fewer women with enough power to be able to get away with it. But I think really it just does come down to people who get a whiff of power and get a whiff of celebrity, and they figure out how to take advantage of that,
well,
regardless of
it makes
the
me think of. Now, the Overton window refers to overall social acceptance of a situation.
Yes.
But I do wonder, and there must be, I'm sure social scientists are jumping up and down being like, I know what that phrase is.
Yeah.
But like, what I'm thinking about is someone's own personal Overton window. Mm-hmm. What do you feel individually is socially acceptable?
Mm.
And I'm wondering, this is just me putting it out there, if with that power and celebrity, your understanding of what is acceptable shifts.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And where it may seem normal to jump the gun, as it were. You know, anywhere else that would be absolutely unacceptable. And who's there to rein them in, to keep their feet on the ground? You know, is this something that's happening in Canada? We haven't heard any reports of it, but we would be naive to assume that this is not the case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that there are queer folks in kind of in house parties. I've been to many house parties, and you know, your eyes meet across the room, or you're like, oh my god, it's so and so. You know, I've seen them on the telly box, and it goes from there. But it was that comment about the 20-year-old that really raised my eyebrow.
Mm.
And it made me think about how we need to consistently come back to this conversation as a community about safety, being safe with each other and communicating. And I'll be absolutely clear, you know, you need to be consensual, it needs to be consistent, and it needs to be clear, and everyone's happy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And there is that extra dimension in the queer community, unfortunately, like when you're mentioning the 20-year-old, because there are a lot of people who... they don't get the classic high school experience, although data is showing that even, like, the classic high school experience is just evaporating. You know, people who get into their mid-20s and they've never dated, you know, maybe they've never had sex, and now someone is hitting on them, and even though they're not interested, they're terrified that if they don't say yes, they'll never get another chance.
Yeah, the opportunity is now or never.
Yeah.
There's pressure in the room. Yeah, that
is definitely an angle that you get in the community where it's like, I feel very uncomfortable with what's happening right now, but no one has asked me in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you do get a lot of people in, like you and I both have had friends who've gotten into pretty dodgy situations, but they justified it to themselves. It's been a while. And then you're like, well, nobody got hurt. You know, the start of the story was not so great, but the end of the story is fine. So we're not going to make a fuss, but it's a thing that the community does need to watch out for that. And there is that sort of, I don't want to say loneliness or desperation, but there is that desire to be desired that makes people overlook red flags.
I'm gonna jump in there because you said it's not loneliness or desperation. The queer, there is a loneliness epidemic in Canada.
Yes.
There is so much, people are so alone.
Yes.
And it breaks my heart that there are so many people who don't have that company that many of us have. And that those emotional resource.
Each subsequent generation, it's getting worse as well.
Yeah, yeah. Loneliness is a huge issue.
Yeah.
And also in the queer community, like it is definitely a thing that happens with queer folks.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose the thing that I wanted to also ask your thoughts on and encourage this conversation with our listeners is on the other side of that.
Yeah.
You know, I think folks going into house parties, everyone should have fun. If you're in your 20s, have fun.
Yes.
Like, just have a great time.
Yes.
Make memories that you may forget from the amount of vodka. Like, it's fine. Just enjoy yourself.
Mm.
Safe, sane, secure.
Yes.
But what about those individuals who are maybe have some celebrity, have some notoriety, when they enter a room, they hold the attention of the room. What about those? Is there an onus to do better? Is there an expectation that we need to hold ourselves to the highest of standards?
There is, but there's also that onus to be humble. And, I mean, if you really want to look at the very best version of what celebrity could be like, you really don't need to look further than Keanu Reeves.
Hmm.
Do you know how many photos there are of Keanu Reeves on a subway?
Or just sat on a bench.
Just sat on a bench.
Yeah.
Because he is not too good to do the regular stuff. And people say hi to him, you did a great move. And he's like, okay, thanks, man. And he just goes back to reading his paper. Like, just you know, not getting too big for your own britches. There is that sort of that down home comfort that it's okay to remain humble. And there are mm-hmm. so many celebrities out there that are known for, like, you would never, Kurt Russell, back when he was at the peak of his celebrity. The only reason why I mention that is because my uncle used to have a cabin on a lake next to Kurt Russell. And he had a cabin on a lake next to Kurt Russell for 5 years before realizing it was Kurt Russell. Because Kurt Russell was so humble and normal a man that it just looked like some guy who resembled Kurt Russell until my uncle noticed Goldie Hawn. And then it was like, oh my God, that's not just some guy who looks like him. It was just that he didn't have that celebrity atmosphere around him that he just didn't notice that it was the guy. And there is that atmosphere that you can get around yourself that some celebrities are really starting to lean into because they first of all, they don't want the paparazzi. You know, there are certain people like Aubrey Plaza is kind of known for being incredibly down to earth because she realized that when you lean into celebrity, you get the downside of celebrity as well. You get people following around, asking you inappropriate questions about your personal life.
I want to anchor it a little bit more. You know, less right. Kurt Russell, less Aubrey Plaza, more, for example, just picking a name at random here, the former leader of a queer youth organization.
Okay, yes.
Somebody who holds a degree of notoriety in your community. Like, make it more... That's my point here.
Well, yes.
You know, those folks who are most likely to be at the house party with 20-year-olds.
They also need to be held to a position of humility as well. Like, the people around them who are close to them need to be able to sidle up to them and say, like, tone it down. And I think that's something that the community is kind of missing. I mean, if you go to a small town community, you always get those sort of, like, you know, aging lesbians who are in the room with all the twinks. And they're comfortable going up to somebody saying, like, the young man said no.
Yeah, yeah. Or I'm thinking of, like, the big bears who are like, that guy? No, thank you.
Yeah, calm down, wait, you know, your interest is fine. Just sober up and ask him in the morning. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You
yeah,
normally yeah. get those sort of, I don't want to say gatekeepers, but the sort of the elders of the community.
And I want to be clear here, we're not policing how folks express their sexuality. What I'm talking about is this Rolling Stone article which looked at multiple allegations alleged against Shangela demonstrates how we need to revisit this topic of how do we stay safe in an environment where we might feel that someone has that power over us through their celebrity, through their notoriety, through their influence in the community, because these are community leaders. You know, Shangela was often referred to as an icon. And do you accuse your icons of sexual assault? Like, that's a bold thing to do.
Or you could just get a healthy dose of cynicism and not really have any celebrities.
That's fair. Well, it's something to consider. We will be monitoring more of that as it comes out. Shangela has denied all of the allegations, understandably, and nothing as of yet has been proven in court. There has been legal cases made, at least one, I think, in Los Angeles. But yeah, so just the full story is on the Rolling Stone. Go and check it out. We're playing now with Nick Dean Hallelujah by Pata, and we'll be back just after this.
Keep kissing the beautiful faces, but I'm stuck here in bed cause I'm lazy as fuck, and all of my family is out of luck cause their daughter ain't making the family buck. She could be stupid or maybe just stuck, but I know my way out, just today's not a great day to move and to do all the steps to forget I'm a fool. So I'm so screwed. Or maybe delaying the need to move on. Yeah, I'm keeping me round for the Armageddon. Ah, nicotine, hallelujah. It's making me feel like I knew you. It's everything that I do to keep me safe.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name remains Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
Now, I wanted to talk about... We haven't really dived into the trans issue that's been dominating a lot of news. We've been working on interviews in the background. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to talk about Planet Fitness.
Planet Fitness.
Yes. Okay. So there was a lady who was outraged. Mm-hmm. At the audacity of a trans woman using the gym.
Okay.
Now, what this lady then did is...
Wait, let's be clear. Are we talking about, like, being at the gym at all, or are we talking about, like, which change room they used?
She was in the women's change room.
Okay.
Yeah. She videoed this woman in the change room as she was going about her business.
Okay.
And complained to the people at the front desk who said... Our policy is what it is. Nothing we can do about that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this woman has now been banned from Planet Fitness.
Okay.
And people are outraged, saying that Planet Fitness is defending this non-woman, trans person in the changing rooms.
Yes.
But what Planet Fitness is saying is, like, look, we have two very clear policies.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is a non-discrimination policy where essentially you are in the... They don't question your sex identity going in. You know, there isn't somebody at the gates to the changing rooms at Planet Fitness checking people's skirts to see what plumbing equipment you have to get in and out to go about your day. They're like, we believe... Mm-hmm. This is what our policy is.
Although if you're wearing Lululemon from 200 paces, you don't need to guess.
Yeah, not much plumbing checks required that. Yeah. But their point is like this. This is our stance, and that's what it is. They also have a very, very serious second policy.
Okay.
About, and this might be crazy, but did you know you can't actually film people in a public gym washing changing room?
That is the nuts thing. Even people who might say, like, well, you know, there's more discussion to be had about what change room people should use. I even think the most hardcore of them would agree. You don't record strangers in the changing room.
No, absolutely
not. That's weird behavior.
Even if you disagree fundamentally with the trans inclusion policy, go to a different gym. You know what I mean? Like, that... Well, but you don't film someone and then post it online.
In defense of Planet Fitness, depending on where they are, I don't know which one...
In Canada, don't think legally they could discriminate.
Yeah, exactly. There are laws that say that you have to have a policy about this. So it's like, regardless of...
This case was in the States.
And in the... Okay, well, then it depends on what state they're in. Some states, you have to have an inclusion policy. Others...
You have to not have an inclusion policy.
You have to not have an inclusion policy. Yeah, and I mean, there is discussion within the trans community of, when possible, just use, you know, single individual stalls to just avoid the whole thing.
Yeah, in case you get a crazy bigot who wants to video you.
In case something happens. Yeah, exactly. And it's... Why... Don't put on Kevlar armor if you can just dodge the bullet in the first place.
Yeah, but also the audacity and the disruption.
Of filming someone.
I know. Not only to cause a huge scene, make complaints. Like, it's giving Karen.
And all they did was...
It does give Karen.
They were in the room.
Yeah, they were just getting changed.
Because there have been accusations... There have been... Not even accusations. Confirmed stories of individuals who go into the women's change room... And do untoward things to other women.
I'm sure those untoward things are also against the policies.
Against the law, even. But if they're just there, doing their own thing, trying to just...
Exist.
Quickly and quietly do their business and get out. And they're not bothering anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's outrageous. Yeah. No, it is clearly, really quite something.
And I'm guessing this individual who filmed the other individual...
Is the one that was banned. Yeah.
Yeah, is the one who's banned and doesn't understand why she was banned.
She's very aggrieved.
Because she filmed somebody else while in the bathroom.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was interesting. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about...
That's pervert behavior.
It is. It's disturbing. We were talking to the Canadian Anti-Hate Network.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it was... I want to say Amber, but I might be forgetting her name.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about how a pride... certain right-wing extremists will live stream and goad reactions out of queer folks at pride parades. And she said, we don't counter stream.
Mm.
We don't also pull out our phones and live stream because not everyone there has given consent to be broadcast as attending. And I think that's a fundamental difference in how this is being perceived.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, if you have an issue with it, take it up with the policy. Take it up. Walk with your money.
Mm.
You know, make other decisions. But you don't have people's permission to do that. It's outrageous. It absolutely is outrageous.
Do you know what this makes me think of? This is a very short story.
Sure.
I think I've told you this before, but do you know what I've become obsessed with lately on YouTube?
I was watching a lot of drains being unclogged.
Body cam footage.
Okay, yeah.
And the number of, like, when Karen's attack videos that I've seen of, like, police officers showing up, just basically being like, ma'am, you can't park your car there, and then there's just, the reaction ends up in an arrest because they're just disturbing the public. I'm just imagining that kind of a woman. Just, like, screaming her head off, being absolutely. Like, I know my... By the way, the moment you start screaming at an officer, I know my rights, you probably don't know your rights. But anyway. So yeah, no, this is giving me body cam footage when Carrot's attack vibes. Because you don't... This is for a listening audience. If you see somebody doing something you don't approve of, and they're in an environment where you wouldn't want yourself to be recorded, record someone else.
Yeah, just send a strongly worded letter.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Contact the appropriate authority that you want to discuss that with.
Yeah.
Don't film someone without their consent. It's ridiculous. Speaking of ridiculous, a story out of Russia.
Okay.
The first two people who have been arrested under the LGBTQ extremism law.
Right.
In Orenburg, close to Kazakhstan,
mm-hmm.
two individuals at a gay bar called Pose. It's a venue there. Local people from a National Front group in Orenburg reported the existence of this bar and their events to the police.
Mm-hmm.
This bar was then raided by police.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in attendance was forced to lie on the floor as they went round and bagged and tagged everybody. But the bar manager and the art director of the bar have both been arrested and are likely to face up to 10 years in prison for LGBTQ extremism. The crime? Coordinating a drag show.
Okay.
The bar manager is alleged of having being involved with the economic... handling the money, essentially, of a drag show. And the artistic director chose the drag show, i.e. who to perform, etc.
They didn't arrest the drag queens for performing in it.
No, but they arrested the sort of management.
It's just so inconsistent. If they also addressed the drag queens, I would be like, well, that's disgusting, but at least they're, you know, at least they're on page. This is so bizarre, and so I don't know how this even works.
So the district court there accuses both of them as being persons with a non-traditional sexual orientation,
okay,
and acting as a group of persons in a preliminary conspiracy with okay. persons unidentified by the investigation,
okay.
who also support those and the International Public Association of LGBTQ. It goes on to say that they selected drag queen artists, held meetings with them, promoted non-traditional sexual relations in the bar and elsewhere. Yeah, so they could face up to 10 years in prison if convicted. They are the first people in Russia arrested under this new law. Pretty horrific stuff.
It's so bizarre when an anti-propaganda law also applies to what happens behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not putting up billboards or handing out flyers or taking out radio spots or going on TV or YouTube or TikTok or whatever, and you're just doing things behind closed doors at a private venue, how is that propaganda? Not to say that I'm saying the law is fine. It's just, it doesn't even satisfy the bill of the law. It's so weird.
It's outrageous. Now, just to be very clear here, this, and we were talking about this before, that how this law in Russia can be weaponized.
Yeah.
You know, a National Front group yeah. who disliked those gays mm-hmm. reported them. The police raided the whole establishment.
Yes.
And now the manager and art director are facing 10 years in prison.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what that's going to do to queer businesses elsewhere?
Yes.
It's going to put the chill down their spine.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what forces people into the closet. This is what creates a culture of silence and fear,
mm-hmm.
is literally moves like this in Russia. Not a fun place to be. Under the existing legal regime
mm-hmm.
In place in Russia. And unfortunately, we have run out of time.
Right.
But we're going to play a bit of a more uplifting song. It's Euro Papa.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Eurovision entry, because it is Eurovision season.
Yes.
And I can't remember who did this one. Who did Europe?
It's the Netherlands. Yes. Yeah.
I've been Luke Smith.
I've been Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
Europa, blijf hier tot ik dood ga. Europa, pa, Europa, pa. Welkom in Europa, blijf hier tot ik dood ga. Europa, pa, Europa, pa.
Bezoek mijn friends in France of neem de benen naar Wenen. Ik wil weg uit Netherlands, maar mijn paspoort is verdwenen. Heb gelukkig geen visum nodig om bij je te zijn. Dus neem de bus naar Polen of de trein naar Berlijn. Ik heb geen geld voor Paris, dus gebruik mijn fantasie. Heb je een eurotje, please, zeg merci en alsjeblieft. Ik ben echt alles kwijt, behalve de tijd. Dus ben elke dag op reis, want de wereld is van mij.
Welkom in Europa, blijf hier tot ik dood ga. Europa, pa, Europa, pa. Welkom in Europa, blijf hier tot ik dood ga. Europa, pa, Europa, pa. Europa, pa, 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 pa. Europa, pa, pa,
hey.
Europa, pa, 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 pa. Europa,
pa, hey. Ik ben in Duitsland, Abi, ik ben zo alleen. Io sono in Italia, maar toch doet het pijn. Ben aan het vluchten van mezelf, roep de hele dag om help. Ja, ik geef zelfs mensen geld, maar er is niemand die me helpt. Ik hoef geen escargots, hoef geen vis en chips, hoef geen pael. Ja, no, ik weet niet eens echt wat dat is. Zet de radio aan, ik hoor Stromae met papa Ute. Zal niet stoppen tot ze zeggen ja, ja, dat doet hij goed, hé.
Welkom in Europa, blijf hier tot ik dood ga. Europa, pa, Europa, pa. Welkom in Europa, blijf hier tot ik dood ga. Europa, pa.
Jongen!